Dang it. What was I saying?
The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Hello.
Chris?
Yes.
Is it Chris or Christopher?
Either works.
Okay, this is Aaron. How's it going today?
Good, how are you?
I am doing great. Are you excited about the podcast coming up? I mean, not the podcast, the chat, the Twitter chat. Are you excited about that?
Yes, I am.
Good. Have you hosted a Twitter chat before?
I have not.
Are you, are you worried? Do you need any advice? Can I help you? Or are you just going to wing it?
Should I make PowerPoint slides for the questions so that they're images?
I think they stand out better, but I don't know what was up with Twitter this last weekend. And I don't think it was anything to do with the images, because I saw the images, but people were like, I can't see the questions. Anyway, I think it shows up better, but that's completely a judgment call for you.
Okay.
So your chat is about gifted and talented.
Yes.
Truths and misconceptions.
Uh-huh.
So why don't you, can you lay out a couple of misconceptions for us?
So the biggest misconception is what gifted is. Most people assume that gifted is just being really, really smart, and that's not it at all.
All right.
Gifted is actually a processing thing.
Okay. I may cry during this conversation. I'm going to try not to. I am not. I'm not a crier, but I've had a lot going on with this topic here lately, and it couldn't have come at a better time. Seriously.
Hopefully, people get a lot out of it.
I look forward to it. So I may end up cutting all of this out, but. Are you like the gifted, talented person at your school?
Yes.
Okay. My own daughter. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Identified in pre-K, kindergarten, and first. And I know one of your questions is identifying early. Identified pre-K, kindergarten, and first as gifted and talented, scored off the charts on these benchmark tests that we use from NWEA. Mm-hmm. Second grade, third grade, fourth grade. And now fifth grade, she is in the bottom quartile on everything. But she's brilliant.
That's actually super common.
Really?
Yes. For gifted students, you have your overachieving like perfectionists, but you also have this large segment of gifted students who school, for one reason or another, just does not work for them well. So either they're bored or they're not getting the services that they need. So there's a massive issue with gifted kids failing out.
Okay. Well, I am accommodating in every single way I know how. We started to think maybe she's dyslexic. Maybe she's, and just trying to check off all these boxes. And it's great. She's got her own podcast, Navigating Fifth Grade. She loves it. She can speak. She's got sarcasm down pat. I mean, she's 11, but she can out sarcasm any adult. I mean, she is good. Just cannot get math facts. Cannot write for anything.
What you do for gifted kids like that is ask.
Okay.
Ask them what the issue is, because a lot of times they'll be able to kind of identify or help point you in the right direction as far as like what's not working for them.
Okay. Good to know. So I'm going to go through, I've got typical questions here as well. But I just had to get that out. Like I am in this rabbit hole of gifted and talented and dyslexia right now. So, well, what is your job title and where do you work?
So I am a gifted and talented instructor and a STEM instructor at Coronado Heights Elementary in the Putnam City School District.
In Putnam City, okay. And and so I know that you're going to get out truths and misconceptions. Where do you think people typically lie in this topic? Like, what's your intention for this chat?
I want people to understand that gifted kids cannot just be left alone because they're the smart ones.
Right.
You know, a lot of teachers feel like the gifted kids will get it, so like I can just kind of let them be.
Right.
And that's really not true.
No, I think in our world, and how can you do everything there is to do in education?
Yeah.
I mean, last week's chat, we have ACEs now, and that's like a whole nother realm that I'd never thought of before. But like, it seems like if you're identified as LD or special ed, they throw everybody into the same room and say, work it out. Gifted and talented gets thrown on a bus together and they all go to some, you know, field trip that's it. It's not like it's necessarily helping them in their everyday work.
And it gets even more complicated when you have those students who are on IEPs or learning disabled who are gifted, or twice exceptional students.
Yes. And so talk about that, because I guess I didn't know that that was a possibility either until seeing your questions.
Yeah, so like I said, being gifted is a way of processing information, and it is difficult to identify twice exceptional students, so students with learning disabilities or physical disabilities who are also gifted, because sometimes the typical tests for giftedness just don't catch them.
Okay.
So you have to make a conscious effort to identify those students.
All right. Now, what are some of the things you look for?
So in my district, what we do is we use the COGAT test. Other districts use the Naglieri, and kind of with our students who have learning disabilities or on IEPs, we also do like teacher recommendations. The state has a matrix that you can go through to kind of determine. And then there's also various tests out there that you can use. Of course, they cost money, so it's like very difficult to actually get to use them.
Right.
But I think it's important enough to do those things.
Well, I mean, obviously. So what kind of stuff does services does Putnam City offer students with gifted and gifted and talented, you know, identified students?
So at my school, we do pullouts for second through fifth grade, and those pullouts are usually day-long blocks. So like Monday I have second graders, Tuesday I have third graders, so forth and so on. And for me, I try to split it up between a STEM-focused activity in the morning and a humanities or fine arts-focused activity in the afternoon. We do things like bot ball. We have the Science Olympiad. And I know that we're adding more and more fine arts stuff in, too. And then for middle school, it's treated as an elective. And one of the biggest problems facing gifted is that kind of after elementary school, there's kind of not really much for gifted students
right.
in particular.
Right. Do schools just hope that they find electives and excel there, or what?
Well, the state of Oklahoma allows for AP and honors classes to count as gifted.
Okay.
But if you look at the College Board's website, they specifically say that these aren't gifted classes.
Right.
So, like, it's this weird thing where most schools, because they already have AP programming, they just use that as their gifted requirement.
All right. Well, what is your favorite question going into this Sunday night chat? Do you have one that like you're just hoping to get some information on, or?
I would actually like to see how most people define gifted and talented.
Okay.
Because one of the things that we know is that different communities will define giftedness in different ways, and there are some individuals who think that like every child is gifted.
Okay.
So I really want to get a discussion going about what it means in particular to be gifted and talented.
And so gifted musically gifted? Like, are we talking about intelligences at this point, if that you're thinking every child is gifted?
So usually when somebody says every child is gifted, what that means is they have a particular interest that they do okay in.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's thinking of gifted in very, very antiquated terms, and not thinking of gifted as in, like, a mode of processing information.
Okay. It seems there's a lot of antiquated things going on right now. Yes. Scott and I get on bandwagons. I mean, not bandwagons, soapboxes here and there. So aside from gifted, and it doesn't have to be EDU, what are some things that really excite you? What are some of your passions right now?
So obviously education. I've been up at the Capitol every day for the past 2.5 weeks, as a lot of people have been.
Yeah.
I'm finishing up a master's program right now, so that's taking up a lot of my mental energy and time.
Master's in what?
I'm getting a master's of education in secondary ed with an emphasis on gifted ed.
Awesome. Very good.
So, and then with whatever free time I have, reading the sort of nerdy things that gifted students are kind of into.
Yeah? Like what? Like what?
So I read a lot. Gifted students have a tendency to be really good at creating their own worlds. So creative writing is something that I enjoy. Character building, stuff like that. So you get these gifted kids who are interested in making the world fit how they see it. So they will come up with these off-the-wall ideas. And it's kind of interesting to kind of think about what that means for them.
I like that because it gets you into the brain of these kiddos.
Yeah.
Awesome. And what's your sweet spot to work with? What's your favorite age range of students?
So this is my first year working with elementary students, and they're a pretty interesting group. I think it might be middle or middle schoolers though. I started out teaching middle school, and there's just something about those age groups where they're still open in ways that high schoolers aren't, but they're also developed enough to kind of ask interesting questions and pose interesting ideas.
Yeah. Okay. So in education specifically, where do you think we have the most room for growth?
I think in education specifically, just an understanding of what gifted is and what it requires. Because there's this misunderstanding that simply giving more work to gifted students is a good thing.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I'm just thinking giving more work to my daughter would kill her.
Yeah. And it's important that people understand it's not more work, it's different kind of work.
Right. Right.
So, like, it gives them something real world can sink their teeth into, and most gifted children will flourish under those situations.
Awesome. Okay. And so I've got another question. Who are your edu heroes? Like, who do you look up to in education?
So Dr. Laura Bove Beliveau from the University of Central Oklahoma. She is quite literally who I want to be as a teacher. She's a part of the English Ed program out there.
Is she on Twitter?
Yes, I'm not for sure what her Twitter handle is.
Okay. Well, if you can find it out, we'll, you know, help send it to her whenever this comes out.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's the people who are more local to me who have been the biggest influences.
No, that's perfectly fine.
So, like, I can't say, like, any of the big published education people have really meant more to me than the people who have actually taught me.
Does the State Department have good information on gifted and talented?
So the information that the State Department has is fairly dated.
Okay.
A lot of it is like 7 to 10 years old.
where we're still thinking about giving more work versus the processing.
And we're still thinking that, like, multiple intelligences is a thing.
All right. And so, and you don't think multiple intelligence is a thing, or is a thing for gifted and talented?
I don't think it's a thing at all, but all the research shows that, like, the concept of, like, I'm a kinesthetic learner, and I'm a, like, audio learner, like, that's not true. All children learn in all ways. They might just have a preference for one or the other.
Sure.
But it's not a, like, you can't build a lesson plan around, like, all right, I'm going to reach the kinesthetic learners this way.
Right, especially when you're talking about fractions or, you know, something like that. I see.
And it's one of those things, one of my professors, Dr. Rittner, says, you know, what wires together fires together. So if you're only teaching towards one intelligence, right, you're not actually doing the students any service in terms of, like, neurobiology.
Okay. This is good information. I have been a multiple intelligence believer, so I'd like to have more conversations on that, but not necessarily here on this chat. And it's not that I'm saying you're wrong at all. Believe me, I'm not versed or studied, but
yeah, we have to be willing to have conversations that I don't think we're having right now in education. So regardless if it's about multiple intelligences, gifted, IEPs, like, we as a community need to be having more conversations.
Maybe you and I should host a multiple intelligences truth and misconceptions chat.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
In the future. And we can go, you know, pros, cons, whatever.
Yeah.
So how long have you, I mean, you've been on the Twitters for a long time. Are you, how come you haven't led a chat before? You're just so smart. You're brilliant here.
I haven't been as active with the OPA Ed chats as I've wanted to be. There's been a couple that I've peeked in because they're very near and dear to my heart. So earlier this year, you did the chat on LGBT educators and students. And
yeah.
I was very involved in that one. And it's just school and work and all of those crazy things. But this is, I noticed that there was time available, and this is something that I think we need to discuss. So
awesome. Well, I don't want to do the multiple intelligences right off the cusp of this one. Give it time to resonate. But I'm going to ask Anne when we might be able to get together, because I think I'd like working with you. I think that would be fun.
That'd be great.
Well, anything else you want to throw at the OCLA Ed world?
I want people to be open to this conversation. A lot of people, when discussing gifted, particularly because of some of the ideas that they've been taught or they've been working with, feel like any sort of new ideas is an attack. And I don't want anyone to feel attacked. I want us to kind of, like, recognize this as a learning opportunity to improve ourselves for our students.
I love that. And we're going to try to push this out a couple of days before the chat, maybe like a Friday push, so that people can listen before getting going. And then, I mean, I think a lot of times people see, oh, this is the chat that's going on. I don't think I'll have much to add. But I mean, I've learned so much chatting in things I had no business chatting in. And I've been called out on a few things, and that's fine as well. But I'm growing so much in these conversations, and I'm just hope that somebody doesn't see the name of the chat and be like, oh, I'm not going to be able to add anything to that, so I won't do it.
Sometimes it's best if you just to sit in, and if you think of a question, like, just to jump in, because otherwise, how are you going to learn?
Exactly. Well, Chris, thank you so much for you know, hanging out with me for a minute and talking about this chat. And we'll see you on Sunday.
All right, see you on Sunday.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.